This afternoon, if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want us to look at a few verses out of chapter 2 where it's talking about two people that were looking for the Lord to come. And one of the things that the day in which we live, are we looking for the Lord to come? Are we seeing the signs and that things around us are showing the fact that the Lord's second return is very near? The Bible tells us that Jesus Himself gave us signs, and all those signs are becoming more and more evident. Earthquakes, pestilence, famine. We have a couple friends, Marla being one of them, and Gaylene Goodroad, and they're both plugged into earthquakes around the world. And whenever there's an earthquake of any magnitude, we get an email from them saying, did you realize that there was, and there was just a whole number of earthquakes in Indonesia in the last few weeks. And most of them were over, in the high fives, sixes, or in a couple of them even seven on the Richter scale. They were not little quakes. And there's also earthquakes in other portions of the world going on. Jesus said that the earth would be groaning with birth pangs as his return would be approaching. Then we see those things happening. How do we respond as we see all these signs around us? Wars and rumors of wars. Ethnos against ethnos means ethnic group against ethnic group. We're seeing that all over the world as well. Where you have wars, and it's not just countries against countries, but it's belief systems and values of different people groups against other people groups. For example, the Muslims against non-Muslims. And then in Africa, you have many tribes that are fighting with other tribes. And in Ukraine and Russia, you have people that are of the same Slavic background, and yet they're fighting with one another, just like the Bible said would happen. So do we see the signs around us, and what's our response? Are we excited, and are we looking for the Lord? The Scriptures tell us of two people that were looking at the signs around them, and they longed, and they realized that the Lord should appear soon, and that would be with His first coming. So let's take a look and read at these verses, and let's begin. So we can see how Mary and Joseph and the baby, Jesus, ran into these people. Begin at verse 21, and we're going to read down through verse 38. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus in Greek, and which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Hebrew name would be Yeshua. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a woman, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and Lord, I pray that you just help us to be encouraged by your word, be encouraged by these two people who long to see your first coming, and that you promised they would see it. And Lord, the words that they shared concerning the birth and the coming to the temple of Jesus to be dedicated, and Father, how that they were revealed to them by your Spirit that he truly was the Messiah that had been promised of old to come to take away the sin of the world. No, let us just learn from this lesson and help it to have a heart which longs to see his second coming and his coming for your people with the rapture and his coming with the 10,000s of saints 7 years later at the end of the great tribulation. Now speak to us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting looking at these two individuals. They were both elderly. It says that Anna was, she lived with her husband for 7 years, then he had died. She'd been a widow for 84 years, so that's 91. So she was over 100, if you stop and think about it, because she was probably married in her late teens. A very elderly woman, but she longed to see the coming of the Lord. Simeon was a man who was a faithful man, a godly man, and he had God had revealed to him that he would not call him home until he had seen the Messiah with his own eyes. And both of them happened to be in the temple that day. Isn't it amazing how God just brings things about that people would say, what a coincidence. No, there are no coincidences in life. God orchestrates events in our lives for his purpose. And part of the purpose that he orchestrated this event for was that these two people could be a witness to all those around that would hear them. And I also want you to see they were not silent about it. They went and proclaimed what they'd seen to those that would hear. So let's just take a look at them and see exactly what's happened. To give you a little background, as we're seeing Mary and Joseph are following what God had commanded in the law on what they were to do. And the first child that would open the womb, there were to be certain things that were to be done. And then also with his circumcision, there were certain things to be done with that as well. And part of it was there was to be an offering made, and he was to be brought to the temple, and dedication to the Lord appeared. If you were the first one, first male child that opened the womb, you were to be dedicated to the Lord. Well, we knew that Jesus was, there was a special dedication to the Lord was going here because it was God come in the flesh, and it was the dedication to God of his Son. And we saw this morning that he sent his Son into the world to redeem the world. He didn't have to, but he did. And so we see that this dedication is occurring. As I mentioned this morning, we also see Mary and Joseph were not wealthy. They were poor, as a matter of fact, because the normal offering would have been a lamb. However, if you could not afford a lamb, you were allowed to bring either two doves or two pigeons in the place of a lamb. It's because pigeons were relatively inexpensive and a lot cheaper than a lamb. And so if you didn't have money to buy a lamb to make sacrifice for your newborn child, you were allowed to do two doves or two pigeons. We see that they did two doves and that they bought those and they brought them to sacrifice on behalf of Jesus. in bringing him and dedicating him to the Lord, as they were called to do. As they're going in, they see this man by the name of Simeon. Now Simeon's been, it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. I want you to see that his character was well described. He wasn't somebody that all of a sudden at the last minute of his life had said, well, okay, now I'm going to get serious with God. Evidently, his whole life he'd been committed to the Lord. It says he was just, and that is, he looked at things from a proper perspective, that is, God's perspective, God's justice, understood that God had promised to send a Messiah, and that through this Messiah would come justice. He was also devout. He was devoted and committed to the Lord in all that he said and did. And so it was not, I believe it was not uncommon for him to be at the temple to worship, because that was his character. And he was in Jerusalem for that specific purpose, to be at the temple. And he was there worshiping, and God had called him there and had inspired him to come by the Holy Spirit. And it says here, he was just and devout, and he says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, what is the consolation of Israel? What does it mean, the consolation of Israel? The consolation of Israel would be the promised Messiah, the one who had been given, that would become the whole purpose in which God had established Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the nation of Israel, the throne of David, and had given them the law, the commandments, had revealed to them how they were to live and what they were to do, and the whole sacrificial system. All of that had been given to Israel, and it was all pointing towards this moment where the consolation of all of that would come in the form of the Messiah, who would come in fulfillment of all the promises that had been given and all the types that had been seen and all that had been they'd been directed to do. And so the consolation of Israel was the Messiah of Israel that was to come. The Lord had revealed to him that the consolation of Israel, that is the Messiah, was going to be there. Now, a lot of people probably would have gone expecting to see this man show up, and that this man would be the consolation of Israel, and he'd be there to drive off the Romans. That's what many of the Israelis were hoping for, and we see later on that's what the Pharisees longed for, but they weren't looking for God's Messiah. Simeon was looking for God's Messiah. And as they bring in this baby, it's interesting, he says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. He didn't know in his own wisdom that this child was the Messiah. And just like we in our own wisdom really can't discern the events around us in the proper way. If you're an unbeliever in Jesus Christ and you look at the events that are going on in the world today, you can read the scriptures and you can see what's happening, but you're still not going to have the discernment that God's Spirit gives to you. For example, what's happening in the Middle East with the wars, you wouldn't know that just looking and say, oh, Russia's really aggressive. Of course, the Muslims have always been aggressive, and so we see that these things are happening. But when you have the Spirit of God opening your eyes to the truth of what's happening, all of a sudden you see Russia and Iran, Turkey, Sudan, coming together with other pseudo armies that belong to Iran and belong to those groups, and they're coming against Israel. And the Bible talks about that was going to be the alignment in the last days. And so the Spirit of God reveals to us things that we normally wouldn't see with our normal eyes. Well, there is no way that someone who the Spirit of God did not reveal would have known that this baby was any different than any other Jewish baby that was there to be dedicated according to the law. But when the Spirit of God opened Simeon's eyes and he'd been praying, Lord, let me see the consolation of Israel before I die, all of a sudden God's Spirit says, this is he. And Simeon immediately looks at this child and he's got some interesting things to say. And it says, because he'd wanted to see this before he would die, and before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He wanted to see this, the Lord's Christ, before he died. In verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. So the Spirit of God directed him to go to the temple. He didn't, even though he worship would have been part of his deal, he went to the temple that day, that moment, for that purpose that God was directing him there. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Now it's interesting, if you're a parent and you got a brand new baby and you're walking into a temple that would be have a lot of people in it, and all of a sudden this guy comes up that you don't know, you've never seen before, and takes your baby from you and lifts him up and blesses this child. And he's not the priest. He's not one of the priests. He's just a fellow worshiper. And you're going, what is going on? But you see that Mary and Joseph give him the child and allow him to hold the child, to bless the child, and to say this blessing. And so we know that the Spirit of God was directing Mary and Joseph as well in this whole situation. And sometimes we can look at situations in our life that come up and we say, wow, what a coincidence. I had this opportunity. I met this person. And all of a sudden, it was like I needed to share the gospel with them. And God gave me the opportunity, and they were ready to hear, and they had questions. And isn't it amazing that that occurred? Well, God had led you into that particular opportunity, and they led them too, preparing their heart to hear. And so we see that that happens more than we think in our lives, that God orchestrates events, and His Spirit directs us. His Spirit was directing Simeon. His Spirit was leading Mary and Joseph. And Simeon takes the child, and he blesses the child. And it's interesting, the blessing that he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Okay? So the first thing he says is, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to die. I see your Messiah. I see the consolation of Israel, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now I want you to see, he's also saying that the Messiah was coming, and it wasn't to be a secret. It wasn't to be something that the people weren't to know about. As a matter of fact, this morning we mentioned the fact that the Lord brought to the lowliest of all, the shepherds out in the field, the angels proclaiming that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. And it said that they went, and as they heard and saw these things, and they were amazed when they came and saw the child, and they went forth and told everyone that would listen. Why? Because Jesus came not just for a specific group of Jewish people. He didn't come for a certain sociological group or a certain family group or a certain nationality of people, even the Jewish people, but he came for all people. And Simeon said he is there to be a blessing to all. To all. And that was in fulfillment of the promise that had been given to Abraham and reconfirmed to Isaac and Jacob, that through them the whole world would be blessed. And that blessing would come in the consolation of Israel, the Messiah that would come through Israel. And Simeon mentions this before all those that are around him in here. He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. This is an amazing statement from a devout Jew. Okay? Simeon's a devout Jew. If you go and look at one of the things, remember that Peter struggled with, was taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And God had to reveal to him that by having him having all these different animals, and he said, take and eat, and they were unclean there. And he said, well, there's unclean there. And God said that what I have said is clean is clean, and what I have said is holy is holy. And so what he was showing Peter was, there is no man that cannot hear the gospel. And that's what the lesson he was showing by that particular vision that he gave to Peter. And Peter then began to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul, who was a devout, a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, by his own testimony, viewed himself as kind of head and shoulders above everybody else and kept keeping the law. And he really looked down on Gentiles as dogs. And that's what the average Jew would look at Gentiles was, as dogs. Why? Because they were filthy. They were involved in all these wicked and evil things. They worshipped idols. They were involved in the aspects of idol worship, much of which we can't even talk about because it was so despicable and disgusting. And so the Jewish people, who viewed themselves as keepers of the book, yet they oftentimes did not follow the book themselves, that is the Bible, they looked down on the Gentiles as being dogs. Now you have Simeon, a devout Gentile, a devout Jew, that makes this statement that this Messiah, this consolation of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, is there to lighten the Jews. Now, what does he mean by lighten the Jews? Lighten the Gentiles. I said Jews, I'm sorry, I meant Gentiles. A light to lighten the Gentiles. He is to be that which reveals to the Gentiles their sin and the error of their ways and the fact that they are not worshiping the true God, but he's come to deliver them from their false worship and bring them back into fellowship with the true God. To be light, to lighten the darkness. Remember, I talked before how that oftentimes in Scripture there's this these two opposite themes running. One is light, which comes from God, and the other is darkness, which comes from Satan and this world system. The Gentiles were enslaved in darkness, but this Messiah had come to be light to them. Jesus, as a matter of fact, said, "I am the light of the world." And he had come to be light, not just to Israel, but to the whole world, and to open up the whole world's eyes so that they could see who God was, and they could be delivered from their sin. And so Simeon blesses Jesus and makes that statement. But not only is he a light unto the Gentiles, but he also makes the statement, the glory of thy people Israel. How is Israel exalted in the eyes of the world? Well, if you stop and look at it right now, Israel isn't exalted much in the eyes of the world. The world's turning on Israel. But it says here that the Messiah is that which will lift Israel up and make them glorified in the eyes of the world. Why? Because there's coming the day where the world will understand that the Messiah came through Israel. Israel will understand the Messiah came through Israel. And they will understand who the Messiah is. And the Scriptures tell us in the book of Revelation, the day is coming where men of the world will seek out a Jew to have him explain the Scriptures to them so that they can understand in greater detail about this Messiah. And so he's the glory of Israel. He's that which makes Israel glorified because it reveals why God established Israel was to bring the Messiah to the whole world, and he's a light to the world. And so we see that this is what Simeon is proclaiming about Jesus. And then he goes on, and he says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." You know, it's one thing to have told them that Mary came to come to Mary and say, "Well, you're going to conceive, and what's going to be born from you is going to be the Messiah," and that. And it's another thing for Joseph to be told by the angel that Mary is carrying the Messiah, Son of God, and that you're not to set her apart. She has not committed sexual sin, but this child is of God. And it's one thing for them to be told that. It's another thing for them to see the child born. It's another thing to hear what's been spoken of by the angels. But it's another thing to really hear what his life is going to really do amongst all the inhabitants of the earth. A light to the Gentiles and glory to Israel. And they marveled at it. That's the significance of the Messiah. A light to the Gentiles and glory to Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. What does she mean by that, the fall and rising again of many in Israel? Well, there's going to be a lot of Jewish people that were going to, first of all, accept him and then reject him, and then some of them are going to accept him again. How is that all going to occur? Well, remember when Jesus was performing his miracles in Galilee, the people marveled at him and they followed him, and many of them thought that he truly was the Messiah, but they thought he was the Messiah come to deliver them from Rome, and they thought, man, how can Rome ever defeat us? We've got a guy who can feed our armies, can heal our wounded, he can perform all these miracles, and he could just, by his word, seas are calmed. By his word, demons are driven out of people's lives. Imagine, by his word, the armies of Rome will be defeated. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to deliver them from their sin. And when he began to reveal his real purpose in coming, initially they had all welcomed him on what we could refer to as Palm Sunday by singing his praises and crying out, Hosanna, unto the Son of David. Hosanna, which is salvation. But they were looking at physical redemption, not spiritual redemption. And when he was taken captive, when he was beaten, scourged, brought before Pilate, and then hung on a cross, many of those who had sung his praise entering Jerusalem abandoned him that day. When he was buried, even his own disciples began to quake in fear and feel, who have we been really following? Until he rose again from the dead. And then you had those that understood he truly was the Messiah, and his first coming dealt with their hearts and the battle that they were waging against God through their own sin. And he'd come to deliver them from that. And so we see that to them, to many, he was the fall of Israel. They were looking for someone else, but then all of a sudden he became that which was their true Messiah, as they came to understand. And we also know that in the second coming, that the Lord will come, and it says that in one day, all of Israel that are unbelievers will be saved. And so we see that these prophecies are given here to Mary and Joseph by Simeon, and specifically unto Mary. And it says, for a sign which shall be spoken against. We saw this morning how that Jesus was spoken against, even though he was the Messiah, and the signs that he gave. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. And here he's speaking of the fact of what's going to happen to Mary when she sees Jesus hanging on the cross, that the pain is going to be great, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, and there, so that's a prophecy that Simeon gave, and it was a tremendous prophecy dealing with the fact that this little baby was that Messiah. And the most significant things lie ahead, not while he was holding him there giving the prophecy, but were the things that would lie ahead when he went to the cross on our behalf, died, buried, and rose again to redeem all mankind that would trust and believe in him. Now, verse 35, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Now, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit recorded that for us, because why did he have to record that? Because why is it important that you understand who her father was and what tribe she was of? Well, in the day in which we live, there are people that think that they have the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Have you ever heard of that? There are all kinds of cultic groups that would teach that. They are saying that because of the Assyrian invasion that took away the northern kingdom of Israel, and there were mainly 10 tribes that represented, that those 10 tribes were lost, and nobody knows where they're at. Well, I want to tell you something. Anna lived a long time after that invasion occurred. Where was Asher a tribe of? Asher was a northern kingdom tribe. The inheritance of Asher was up north. We also know that during the invasion of the Assyrians, there were those from the northern tribes that did come down and move down to Jerusalem and Judea to live. But we also know that God knows where everybody is, and He knows all of our backgrounds and heritages. He knows our ancestors, and He will know our children and our grandchildren even before we know them. But the thing is, God knows where the 10 tribes are. They're not lost. And people who would tell you the 10 tribes of Israel are lost, and they really went to England, and they became the new Israel, and the Church of God is one of those, the worldwide Church of God that came, and it was a cultic religion that tried to, it was the ultimate replacement theology, denying that Israel was Israel and that they were really Israel. Well, here we see she's of the tribe of Asher. And she lived and had been down in Jerusalem for 84 years. Because it said that when her husband died, she came down to the temple and she worshipped there, and she worked on behalf of those in the temple to help them. And so she had dedicated herself to the Lord. And so we see that this Anna of the tribe of Asher, she was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow about 84, which would be 80 and 4 years, 84 years from 7, that's 91, and departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And part of the thing that she was fasting and praying for was this coming Messiah. She longed to see the Messiah as well. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What did she? She understood why the Messiah was coming. He was the Redeemer. And so she came and spoke to anybody who'd listen. The Messiah has come. Our redemption is here. And she wasn't silent about it. The question is, as we close this up and wrap this up, there are times that we have opportunities to share with people the redemption is here now for our salvation and from our sins, and the ultimate redemption is coming soon. Like there was the man, Virgil Smith, who was a youth pastor at Grace Baptist many years ago, and his favorite hymn that he would sing, a song that he would sing every time he could have the opportunity to sing, was "My Redemption Draweth Nigh." And the chorus said, "Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh." In other words, your redemption's close, your redemption's near. That's for the believer. Our redemption is near. The Lord is coming to take us back. And for the unbeliever, we lift up our head because Jesus is here to deliver us from our sin. Our redemption is right in front of us if we just look for it. And so she proclaimed, the redemption of Israel is right here. And everyone needs to understand the Messiah is amongst us. And so you have these two individuals, older people, and people say, well, I can't be used to God for anything because I'm too old. God never has you retire till He calls you home. And these two people were not ready to go home to be with the Lord till they'd seen the Messiah, and they had the opportunity to tell others, this is the Messiah that God said He would let me see. May we have that same heart looking for the second coming of the Lord Jesus, that we long to see that day. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray You help us to understand this. Help us to apply these truths to our life, and help us to seek to be used by You to proclaim them. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn your hymnals to 491, 491.
O soul, are you weary?